I forget which episode of Will Communication here, not at your regularly scheduled time, due to the slowness of my very special guest, Chef Kevin Pomplin, owner of Picnic and Picnic Smoked, and someone I've been cooking with for over 12 years here at Will Communication, Heritage Radio Network, heritageradionetwork.com, broadcasting live in real time to the millions of fans worldwide out of the backyard shipping container at Roberta's Restaurant here in Bushwick, Brooklyn. So we're going to talk today in continuing our Great Chefs series here on Will Communication. We're going to be speaking with Kevin, and somebody just actually, Kevin was just nominated as the Rookie of the Year by the Vendees for the most amazing new street vendor in New York. Fighting it out with such stiff competition as Big Gay Al and his Big Gay Ice Cream Truck, and Schnitzel and Things. So for all of you out there, just remember on the Vendees on the 26th to vote for Kevin Pomplin, who's now going to introduce himself and tell us a little bit about how he ended up slinging barbecue sandwiches in Wall Street.
How you guys doing out there? This is Kevin Pomplin, Picnic Smoked and Picnic. Very excited about the Vendees, the Mr. Goldfarb. A little anxious about it. You know, I've been smoking for probably 14 years at least.
At least. I think the question on everybody's minds is, how did you end up smoking meat?
Well, you know, it's a sensitive subject for me. You know, it stemmed from, you know, growing up in the wild and actually having to learn to smoke my own food to survive. I was actually left on not so much the steps, but a stump,
which is a little known part of your history. Not everybody knows that you were raised in the wild by a pack of wolves.
No, you know, I mean, it's not something that really comes up in everyday conversation. So, you know, I like to keep it real, not to don't like to talk about stuff that, you know.
But now that you're famous and everybody wants to know your story, I think, can you tell us a little bit about the woods where you were raised, where they were located, and what kind of how you ended up there?
Well, I mean, there were pine needles. They were very sharp and prickly. You know, it was mountainous, very rural.
What was the first thing you had to smoke in order to survive?
I believe it was actually my uncle's tail. I had to smoke it and burn the hair off first and then consume it just for survival reasons.
Well, that's understandable. I mean, I think anybody who's seen the movie Alive will know that, you know, when in doubt, it is necessary to turn to cannibalism to take care of yourself.
You can only do what you can do, Will.
I understand. But I think in addition to, so, but was it really just a formal, informal woods training, or how did you end up in cooking? Is it true that you just learned everything through touch, or did you also go to cooking school?
I did go to cooking school and unlearned everything that I learned, just to relearn everything after I went to culinary school once again.
So can you tell us a little bit about what you were like as a culinary student?
Oh, boy. I don't know if I remember too much of that. It was very exciting. That's all I remember, because reality hasn't yet set in on the actual reality of the culinary world, and it's not that exciting and grueling and painful.
But school can be exciting.
Well, you know, going to CIA, the exciting part of school was definitely not the women. If anything, it was the sheep.
But that may be due more to your rural upbringing.
Well, you know, the men are men, the women are men, and the sheep are scared. I don't know how to say this on the air.
I'm not sure.
Not good.
I think we've come to our first bonus question here at Heritage Radio Network at Will Communication. We're going to ask you to call in right now, 718-497-2128, if you know the answer to that punchline, where the men are men, the women are men, and the sheep are. And if you can answer that correctly in the next 30 minutes, or quite frankly, if you even listen to this show ever on archives, which you can find on heritageradionetwork.com conveniently with all of our past shows, and you send me an email with the correct answer, I will buy you a beer, a 24-ounce Modelo, here at Roberta's Restaurant, 261 Moore Street, Bushwick, Brooklyn, Morgan stop off the L train. So, moving along to culinary school, did you find yourself immediately in a chef position, or what was the path that you took to start learning how to cook?
The path on starting to cook was basically shut up and put my head down and work.
And where are some of the places that you did that?
Lebec Finn in Philadelphia, Four Seasons in Philadelphia.
Which at the time, I mean, Lebec Finn was regarded as one of the best restaurants in the country.
It was. It was highly regarded back then.
I think they still have some of the same dry storage ingredients that they had back then.
I think so, and probably still the same nice, beautiful pink wallpaper.
They have lovely pink wallpaper.
And swords.
Georges Perrier, Lebec Finn.
Oh, oui.
So what inspired, were you attracted to the, was that sort of the best restaurant in the area where you were near where you'd grown up? Or did you just have a secret love for the dirt of Philadelphia?
Well, it's a little complicated, but I started off with a girl who actually lived there and had a residence, who I roomed at CIA with. So it was a matter of convenience.
Interesting. So I think we might be able to detect a slight pattern where the girls in your life have dictated where your travels are going or not going. So I'm sure that that will rear its ugly head up later.
I'm sure that has nothing to do with your travels as well.
No, never, never. None of my travels are women related. So what did you do what was it like starting off at Lebec Finn back in, what year was it that you started cooking? 1965?
In 1985? I haven't really thought about it. Yes,
1997.
About 1986, 88. It's a hard line to denote whether I was washing dishes or cooking or a little bit of the both. But as it progresses, you get more and more involved with the food and move further or further away from things that you really don't want to be doing.
So that's over 20 years in the kitchen, and you've come all this way.
Yes, yes.
And here you are. You find yourself now live as a celebrity chef guest on Will Communication, Heritage Radio Network.
I have moved up from the woods into a trailer.
Yeah, it's amazing. Things come full circle.
Yeah, leaps and bounds.
So I think one of the things we're going to talk about next is, I'd love to hear a little bit more about where the other places that you've cooked are, and I think... Again, the millions of listeners worldwide and the dozens that are tuning in live will be interested to know more about the chefs and the type of cuisine that you worked with that put you in a position to hone your fine dining repertoire and then totally disregard it in order to make sandwiches for money.
Well, I guess after the Philadelphia stint, I came to New Jersey where I...
Which is another sinkhole.
Yes, yes, yes. Just on the edge of the sinkhole.
But for the record, when you were abandoned in the woods and before you were adopted, you then had to go to New Jersey, which some people might consider even worse than being raised in the woods.
Yeah, some might. But I did end up at very luckily at the Ryland Inn in beautiful White House, New Jersey, which was not a sinkhole. Which I was as fortunate enough to work with you, Will.
That's right. That was the beginning of our bromance.
Yes, it was. So now would be a good time to hear the Chips theme song.
Now would be a good time to roll music, or at least romantic. Can we cue? I would like to extend a special thank you to Lorenzo, the producer, and Nat, the engineer. So if they have any romantic walking through the woods type of music, this would be the appropriate time. But we're about to cut off here of our first part of Will Communication Season 6 here with Chef Kevin Pomplin of Picnic and Picnic Smoked on Heritage Radio Network. And we'll be back in a flash. And we're back here on Will Communication, Issue 6, with our guest, Star Chef Kevin Pomplin of Picnic and Picnic Smoked, here on Heritage Radio Network. Find us live today or anytime, heritageradionetwork.com, the archives. And we are brought to you today by the kind people of TechServe, your one-stop shop for all things Mac. TechServe on 23rd between 6th and 7th in the outer borough of Manhattan, which is just a short ride on the L train from Bushwick. And we're here, I think actually Kevin and I, the last time we were fixing our computer, we were at TechServe.
Yes, yes.
And they were unable to do anything for us, but they help thousands of people every day. I think where we left off was in the romantic period when we first met, which was at the Ryland Inn, which incidentally you were instrumental in guiding towards its Relais Chateau Relais Gourmand rating, which for those of our listeners who may not know is sort of the highest. Now I think we have Michelin in this country, but Relais Chateau Relais Gourmand for a restaurant really is sort of the highest standard that any restaurant can be in the country. And I think you were actually there before I was. And I got there, I was coming back from Spain, and I think you had a broken leg, actually, when I got there, and you were cooking the line on one leg.
Yeah. Very, very interesting place, very fortunate. I mean, it's one of those things in cooking, you know, you can be very talented and never be given the opportunity, or you can step in it. And I was fortunate enough to be around at a time that that was a great time. In the world of food, it was around the 95, 96s, where people started to think outside the box for once, and it was a lot of fun, and it was a great opportunity, and you know, they had a beautiful herb garden and vegetable garden,
and back before. Now, incidentally, we are here in Roberta's in Bushwick at 261 Moore Street, and we're actually sitting underneath an herb garden and a tomato garden. But back 15 years ago, not necessarily everybody had an herb garden and a vegetable garden in their backyard.
No, this is very true. And, you know, they're also blessed with a large amount of space out there in the Ryland Inn. But like I said, you know, it's more about the food and stepping in and being there in the right time, the right place, and having the opportunity to work with some great people. Like, I mean, not to blow smoke up your, you know what, but, you know, it was very instrumental, you know, being with the right people. One man can only do so much, and you need that camaraderie and dialogue to really progress and be, you know, create something original, I think.
I felt like we were definitely cooking as well as anybody in the country, or at least for ourselves. I'm not ashamed to say that, but on a humbler note and in a funny way, in the way that cooking comes and goes, you sometimes feel like you scale the heights at certain points and then you don't remember how you're getting back there.
No, that's true. It's, you know, I mean, it brings us kind of full circle to what we started talking about, which was Picnic Smoked and, you know, going to these extremes and, you know, the 110 hour weeks, 120 hour weeks, no sleep, you know, just for the food, and even more, just for someone else. You
and
know,
fine china, crystal, silver, front waiters, back waiters, dishwashers,
a lot
porters,
of people to yell at.
Gardener, a lot of people to yell at. And you were very. That was not something that you had to learn. I think you did well. You're not much of a yeller.
Hey, the wolves taught me well.
I know it's hard. It must be natural to yell when you've been barked at since birth.
This is true.
But so do you want to talk a little bit? I think, you know, obviously here at Heritage Radio Network, you know, not coincidence, we're intimate with all the Heritage products.
Do they sell pork?
They sell, I think Heritage Farms is a sell, they distribute pork by carefully cultivating a group of growers, and they manage a butchery in the Midwest. And I think one of the things that people would like to hear you talk about in relation to Picnic Smoked is how you've had this relationship with Heritage and what you can say about the quality of the meat and how important it is to your cooking.
I mean, I think the meat is instrumental. I honestly don't know. I don't even want to try, but I don't know how you could smoke the pork as the other white meat, because I just don't think it would ever stand up. It wouldn't have the fat content, wouldn't have the sinew level, it wouldn't have the feed level standards that Heritage has to enable you to have a juicy, succulent product in the end after smoking it for 15 to 17 hours.
But can you do, you know, is what's the secret? Because I know that a lot of people
it's a secret.
I know it's a secret, and it is a secret.
No, it's a secret.
It's a total secret. It's a secret. I think that we've got in the audience today, I'm sure we have a lot of people who smoke meat at home. And what would be, or just smoke a lot.
Very respectable.
I think everybody in Heritage Network and community is big on smoking in general.
No one likes a quitter.
Nobody likes a quitter, and quitters never win. But let's talk a bit seriously, because the public schools demand that we discount that kind of a message. So talking a little bit about pork, what is it? Is it just the 15-hour smoke, or is there something else you do? Because if I was cooking something for 15 hours, I would imagine that it would get dry and crumbly.
Well, I mean, you definitely start off with a brining solution. That can consist of, I mean, anything as simple as salt and water. Or you can add sugar or spices. I like to echo the flavors that are in the barbecue sauce with what's in the brine.
Could you give like a sample home style brine? Because I would imagine that most people that smoke meat at home, they don't necessarily go the step of brining their own meat before smoking it.
Yeah, I think a quick, you know, one on a brine would just simply be a gallon of water. Gallon of water, 6 ounces of salt, 3 ounces of sugar. And that would be your simple brine. Whatever you want to do to that to add aromatics or anything else, I mean,
and so what are some,
look in your garden.
If it's all, it may all be a secret, but what are some things right now that are flavors that you have in the brine and for picnic smoked, and then flavors that maybe also are reinforced by the sauce that you also make?
Well, I mean, it would be the chilies. You know, I have a variety of 6 different chilies. It would also be, you know, I use honey. Some people use sugar. Some people use brown sugar. Some people use molasses. To me, honey is kind of adds the viscosity that adds moisture, infuses moisture into the meat over the long duration of smoking. The chilies, you know, we use chipotles as one of them. We use ancho chilies as another one. Definitely starting with something that has a smoky background to begin with is always enhances a smoked product.
What about, you know, we had, yesterday Robbie Richter came down to the barbecue trailer, and he's sort of the, I don't know if he's the barbecue guru. I don't know if he's more the Don King of barbecue or Barack Obama. He's either promoter or presidential, but he's certainly like the best.
He's definitely on the way to presidential.
I think he's presidential. Yeah. I think he's probably erring on the side of presidential.
You know, Obama did land on Wall Street. I wasn't sure if it was Bobby in the car, but it was Obama.
It was Barack Robbie Richter, which is a very subtle nickname. So we'd like to, but I guess it was kind of great for Robbie to come down. I know that we've spoken with him before, and he was talking about rubs.
Yeah.
And I thought that was an interesting subject that I don't know a lot about. And I was wondering if you had any comment on what your feeling was about using a rub when you do barbecue.
Being that I'm honestly not really from a barbecue background too much, I find it to be counterproductive. I find the idea of brining a product and then putting salt on it to draw the moisture out is kind of counterproductive. I don't find that my crust on my brisket is for less or more because I don't put the salt on, which, you know, most people say that's how you get the real crust.
Because it dries it out, right?
Right.
I mean, that's what you're drying it out.
Exactly.
So you can caramelize the meat more.
Yeah, like you would on a smoked salmon or something like that in the cure. I think, if you're cooking anything for 15 hours, if you have the plug in, you're going to get a crust. If you're rotating your meat and doing things the right way and using good quality, I think you'll achieve the end result. You have to play with everything.
But you mentioned plugging it in. So that would imply that this is an electric smoker that you, would you like to talk a little bit about what kind of smokers that you're using right now? Because people at home, I would imagine, probably have an old fashioned smoker, which is just putting wood in the bottom essentially of a can,
Weber,
right?
Anything. I mean, you can smoke in an oven, you can smoke You can smoke anywhere.
Except in restaurants in Manhattan.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Some.
So what kind of, do you want to let the listeners know what the secret equipment is behind the man who's producing the hottest barbecue in New York?
I don't think it's ever about the equipment. I mean, not if you know what you're doing. I mean, not that I know what I'm doing, but it's never about the equipment. It's always about the passion and the attention you give it. I have two different smokers.
You may be looking at a third.
Right. I mean, one is, I don't even know what it is, something Pride. And the other one's
We don't endorse any official, there is no official smoker here on heritageradionetwork.com, so we may have to blank out the brand names in case we have a future competitor. But I think maybe what we want to come back to, I think we're about ready to take a break, and we're going to come back and we're going to talk about how your training as a 4-star chef put you in the position to be cooking the hottest barbecue in New York today. Will Communication, Star Chef Kevin Pomplin, Heritage Radio Network, brought to you by TechServe. Roberta's here on Will Communication, Heritage Radio Network, live at normally 4:30, today 5:30, due to terrible traffic and a drawbridge up under the BQE, driving here with Chef Kevin Pomplin of Picnic and Picnic Smoked. Thanks again to Lorenzo, my producer, and Nat the engineer here, and we are brought to you by the good graces of our favorite company to service apples, which is not the Apple Store itself. That would, of course, would be TechServe, 23rd between 6th and 7th, New York, New York. And we broadcast live every Thursday, at least for the next 3 weeks, until I go to Bali, at which point we'll be potentially broadcasting live from the rainforest. And we're going to come back now and talk with Chef Kevin Pomplin about the transition from fine dining to fast service, and what kind of lessons of cooking that can be applied to a sort of fast casual trailer, which is, you know, we're not even operating in a restaurant right now. So I'd like Kevin to talk a little bit about the things that were important in fine dining and how those translate into fast service.
Okay.
I don't know if that was a question.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out what the question was, but I will. The question was, you know, how do you transcend from 4-star to barbecue trailer,
which may be unprecedented. I don't know that anyone's ever done that before.
I don't know if you do. I mean, I think you. It's just like life. You take your experiences and you use them to the best of your ability, and you try and grow with whatever comes your way. And a barbecue trailer came my way. It almost hit me.
Barbecue trailer nearly went off the BQE.
Yes, well, several times. But I
and
think
coincidentally, if you're going into the food business, because a lot of our listeners may be interested in, you know, renovating an old thing and turning it into a new thing, or making a food business without being tied down to having a rent. Having a trailer, do you think that's something that we might want to talk about? Do you think people would be interested? There's sort of a phenomenon of trucks and carts going on right now. I've seen they're everywhere. And we're actually, the awards, the Vendy Awards,
yes,
for street vendors are now in their fifth year. It's kind of hard to know exactly what's going on. And I know, you know, neither you or I are too worried.
I didn't
about
know what was going on. I didn't even know about the Vendys.
But I'm
happy to be nominated. Yes,
that's right. You can be Rookie of the Year.
Ooh.
But do you think that in this economic time that a lot of people are looking for options for running a food business that might not necessarily involve a lease in a Manhattan location with a prime rent?
You know, I do. But, you know, there's probably about the same amount of challenges and about the same amount of paperwork initially to get it off the ground. Obviously, the financial investment is a lot less, substantially less. But, you know, anytime you're dealing with something where the food has to be prepared offsite, you're dealing with two locations. So you don't have to just worry about one fixed location. So it makes managing difficult because you need to have two eyes and two hands in both locations, which is a challenge.
And you have two eyes and two hands in both locations.
Luckily enough. I mean, even coming over the drawbridge, I still had two arms and two hands. So, you know, that was very fortunate. It was close.
But you're also, by those standards, you'd actually, because you're also responsible for picnic kiosks and the Battery. So then by that rationale, you'd actually need to have eight eyes and eight hands.
Right. But I still stick to the two and two. It's done well so far for me.
That's it. So I think you must be excellent at managing your time and delegating.
And my limbs.
And your limbs.
Yes.
I'd be interested to know how, again, for somebody starting a trailer, what would be the one piece of advice that you would give to them?
Be very careful where your commissary is.
So for those of our listeners who may not know what the vocabulary is, a commissary kitchen refers to an off-site location where food is prepared for sale somewhere else.
And when I say be careful, you know, location, distance, economics, you know, things as people know that are in the restaurant business, they ballooned very quickly, and a budget of $50,000 becomes $150,000 very quickly, and a lot of unforeseens always occur. And I guess the thing is to be very adaptable, and have extra cash in the bank, because your budget will always double, at least.
So, how's the first month been for Picnic Smoked? Has it exceeded your expectations?
It's exceeded by leaps and bounds. I went into this being happy to do $500 a day, or you know, 60 covers, and it's far exceeded that, and we're very happy. You know, we had some upset people in the beginning because we just physically were not able to produce the amount of food that people were looking for. So, you know, I'm hoping that we didn't upset too many people, you know, by making them wait and being disappointed by us not having the product when they got there. But we have doubled our efforts. So we're hoping to satisfy more people, and at a more rapid pace.
And so what's next for Chef Kevin Pomplin?
I'd like to say more barbecue. I'm definitely loving the crud out of it. So
that is a very, very clever, non-curse.
Yeah.
I might add, our listeners and our producers and our engineers greatly appreciate that.
Well, I have lost half my vocabulary by not being able to curse. So I'm kind of at a loss for words.
Yeah, and that you're being generous.
Yes. Even if I was spelling backwards.
Even if you were, for those of you who may not be aware, Kevin is actually the worst speller, in the world. He's almost so good at spelling things incorrectly that it could be perceived as an art form.
Well, I'm starting a new language, Will. I don't know if you knew that.
What's the universal language?
BBQ?
No, all right, very. You know, so you can never keep a man who's been raised by wolves or in New Jersey away from a good one-liner, and I think that's
a garbage can or a highway.
Or a garbage can or a highway. You can't keep him. I mean, I know Kevin well, and you can't keep Kevin away from anything, actually. So I think we're about to wrap it up here on issue 7, season 6, volume 5. The numbers change every time, but the one thing stays the same. Will Communication coming here. Thank you to our great guest, Kevin Pomplin, broadcasting live.
Thank you.
Heritage Radio Network, heritageradionetwork.com. Check us out live every Thursday at 4:30 or anytime in your underwear on the archives.